just was considered a little bit inspiring and empowering. When you look at the words of Chazal, for example, the Gemara in Yevamos, Daphain Taz told us that Klal Yisrael are Rachmanim, Vaishanim, Golim Chasadim. When we think about the fact that there's certain elements of our spiritual DNA that set us apart, qualities that are essential and inherent in a Yid, that in every generation we can tap into, we can hope to access, and over time make it our own. Had a friend in Moshe Akol many summers ago, told me he loves Parshas Balak. He said, why do you love Parshas Balak? He said, because it has so many nevuas, so many descriptions of the vision of what Klal Yisrael is supposed to look like. Lohidra and Yaakov, Levad and Yishkon, it tells us where we're going, who we're supposed to be. And it's exactly for that reason, just a couple days ago, Shabbos, I'm standing right over there doing Kriyas HaTorah, and I got a little choked up. I got choked up because we read, because Baruch Hu himself, the Chol Atzmo, not once, but three times, within a span of just a few psukim, describes Klal Yisrael as Am Kishei Olam. What are we supposed to do with that? Our best chance at a defense attorney, Moshe Rabbeinu, what does he do? He confirms the description. And when you look at what exactly Am Kishei Olam means, it gets worse. Rashi says on the spot, the Taich in Am Kishei Olam, it's not sound stubborn. So Rashi, Mechazim Kishei Olam, Lemegin Mochichehem, Umemanim Shema. They turn their back, they turn their necks on those who give Musar, and they refuse to listen. We don't take criticism very well. We ignore Sichas Musar. You only have all the weeks that you have to ask me to give a Sichas Musar. What am I supposed to do with this? No one's listening. I'm Kishay Earth. Hashem said it, not me. The emesis, it seems as if the threat that's described by Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, it's almost inherent and acknowledged in the midst of the Hochayach Tochir Zamisach, the midst of the Gim Musar. The end of the pasuk, Hochayach Tochir, right? It ends with Sisa Lovchay. So Mepharshim discuss what exactly is the connection between the beginning and the end of the pasuk. So it seems that there's a caution over here. We're being warned the Musar you give might not be accepted. There's going to be a backlash. And that could generate even more hate, not just on the part of the perpetrator, the original perpetrator, but even on the Mochiyah side. They're not going to listen. To be sure, any ostensibly negative midah is going to have some sort of aseh tov element that you have to cultivate. But I want to focus tonight on the Sur Meirah. See, we need Musar not only to keep our Torah and mitzvos and our midos on track, we actually need Musar to keep our Musar on track. We're all here to grow, and it's worthwhile to try to come away with some idea, to identify some takeaways, to make the Musar penetrate so that we shouldn't live up to this designation of being Am Kishei Olam. So what are the challenges? Why is it so hard to be on the receiving end of Tochach? So let's start with what Rashi told us. Memanim l'shmo, they refuse to listen. There's a diuk here. It's not the pshat that, you know, we don't want to accept the Musar. It's that we're not even hearing in the first place. Doesn't mean we're rude and we're inattentive when people are speaking to us. No. But it's almost like we're not listening because we're not acknowledging that the Musar applies to us or it's even being directed to us in the first place. Now, maybe we imagine our own perfection. It's a challenge for lots of people. Ego and gaiva to admit someone's weaknesses. But what's astounding is at the same time, we are very, very good at noticing when someone else falls short of expectations and making a whole Shabbos meal conversation about it and putting it in the newspaper and putting it on the blogs or whatever it is. Maybe we have trouble accepting Musar because we're so good at finding fault in others. It's always easier to blame a different person rather than taking the responsibility on our own shoulders and owning it. And the emphasis, those aren't two distinct factors necessarily. I boost my own ego by assuming that I've surpassed someone else, and the more fault I see in someone else, the better I feel about my own standing. So it's almost like a vicious cycle that we create for ourselves when we look in this way. Essentially, whenever we're directing criticism, or I would say even if we're thinking about criticizing someone else, if we have a critical mentality, b'chlal, we're lacking the Ayin Torah, the better we become at deflecting the Musar that we're supposed to hear also. Am Kishei Olam, we're very firm in the mindset of Hochayach Tochir Zamisacho, and that's precisely what generates the meat of Am Kishei Olam, to ignore the Musar that we're hearing. Emma says this could even be a chiddush in the end of the pasuk. The pshat and losisa of chait means it's really hard to give musa without digging yourself deeper in the hole. Because if I'm giving musa to the other guy, I'm saying that it's not shayach to me. There's a popular meritza that borrows a line from Mishnah and Nigoyim. Mishnah there says that only Kohen can pasuk on Nigoyim. And while that's true, he can't pasuk on his own skin. Also in Mishnah is, Kohen Nigoyim Adam Ruach Chutz Minigasmo. He can answer shayach about someone else's nego, someone else's skin, but not his own. Self-awareness doesn't come easily when it comes to things we need to fix. Kliyaka has, in a beautiful, beautiful pshat, takes the imagery of Tzaras a little bit further. Listen to this deal. Hatzarua shebo nega, the God of Yufrumim, Roshia Farua, al-Sofim Yata v'tomei tomei yikra. Pasuk describes how Mitzvah is supposed to behave. How he's supposed to dress, how he's supposed to speak. Hatzarua shebo nega. V'tzarua shebo nega. Practically, why is the Torah described the tzarua as the person who has bo anega? What else are we talking about? Right? If he's a mitzvah, why is he a mitzvah? He's a mitzvah because he has an ega. Why is that necessary? The answer is the kliyaka, kabbalah chazal shekoha posel b'mumo posel. Kol posel b'mumo posel. Lakach nemar asher bo anega, ki bo nimtza be'etzem rishona kol nega v'kolom sh'ratzalif kambalah chadero. To paraphrase, in other words, what makes a person speak Lashon in the first place, Lashon Hara in the first place, that got me tzarat? Why did he speak Lashon Hara? He saw something wrong with somebody else. He felt compelled to share it with people, and describe it, and share it, and spread it. The Torah teaches us that in all likelihood, if that happened, if he noticed the chisar in the other person, probably he's being punished, the one with tzarat, because he's the tzarua asher bo hanega. He's got the nega, he's got the deficiency, he's got the blemish in himself. Kol posel b'mumo posel. The ability to see clearly when someone else needs to improve is an indication that that's precisely where I have work to do and where I'm lacking. Yet we're blinded by our own chesronos. Blind to our own chesronos. Chaim Voloshin and Pergiyavo says that this is reminiscent of what someone else says. Pasuk tells us, K'mayim ponim al ponim, kein leva adam. A man's heart has the reflective properties of water. Imagine you're looking at someone through a glass. So if the glass is clean and clear, so maybe the image you see on the other side is also going to be in focus and high definition. But if the glass is smudged or fogged or dirty, so everything on the other side of the glass will also appear with the same imperfections. The nimshel, of course, is that what we see through the lenses of our own imperfections, all the while projecting them on the people on the other side of the glass. The War of Independence in 1948, there was terrible, terrible casualties. Thousands of people died. Not to mention, we lost our access to the Mekomos HaKadoshim. We were kicked out of the old city until 1967. Terrible. And you can imagine the morale of the people in Yerushalayim at the time. There was some chavru, they were by the Briskerov at the time. They were discussing the current events. And they complained to the Briskerov, look how we're suffering. Look at the Midas Hadin, all because of the Chilonim, all because of Mechil Shabbos and the Zionists and the secularists. Look how we're suffering. Briskerov turned to them. Now let's be clear. The Briskerov was no Zionist. No Zionist. He said, Mehekatesi, how do you have a right to sit and complain about their affairs? You're so busy doing Vigil and their bonos. Right? Everything's perfect by us. In the religious community, everything's perfect. Mehekatesi. And listen to the mashal he drew upon from Sefer Yonah. Yonah is on a boat. It's about to capsize. The storm is going to take everybody under. All the people, the pasuk describes, from the captain down to the passengers, they've taken out their idols, the getchkas, and they're screaming out to Shemayim or whatever. And Yonah Anavi, he's there, taking it easy. And he finally says to them, B'shali hasar ha-gadol hazeh. That storm outside, it's me. You don't believe me? Put me in the water, you'll see. It's all, everything's going to subside when you put me in the water. It's all because of me. If there's any person on the entire boat, Yonah, a Talmud Chacham, a Tzaddik, he speaks to the Rebbe Shalom. He's a Navi. And hundreds of Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Who has a right to blame it on the other ones? Stama, you could have blamed it on them. Yonah Navi says, no. I'm not looking at the other people's chesron. Look at my chesron. What do I need to fix? Clearly, the approach of Yonah is the emistic approach. It reminds us of what they say from Rishon Salanter. We should be busy thinking about my ruchnis and his gashmis. But most people are usually busy thinking about my gashmis and his ruchnis. We want to be the melchichim instead of listening to ourselves. Not just Yonah Navi. Torah intimates Moshe Rabbeinu does the same thing. He can't be the messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tell the people they're going to leave Mitzrayim. Why? Ani also Sayim. Halo, Shomer Rav Bnei Shal. Pais are going to listen to me. And it's in their own best interest. I'm going to go to Paro. He's going to have the patience to listen to my stuttering. Of course not. Back to Mepharshim, I understand. What kind of Kavachom is that? Pulsic says the reason why Pais didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu was because they were so ensconced in their own reality that they couldn't get out of the sadness of the Shibud. It wasn't shy for them to see the MS of what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them. Mikotzer Ruach Mevod Kasha. So I understand. They couldn't hear because of Kotzer Ruach Mevod Kasha. Paro, what's he doing? He's building pyramids? No. He's chilling in the palace. He can listen. Right? So what's the guy the whole man? Elamai? Moshe Rabbeinu, the enemy called him. He's not pointing fingers at anybody. If something's wrong, the first place he's looking is inside of himself. His assessment led him with him before he fought another Jew. Introspectively, he came to the conclusion is Prodpad, Prodloshim. And the emphasis, if there's any one person in Klal Yisrael who we could say was not included in the Am Kishe Olef, Hashem speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Talking about them. Because Moshe Rabbeinu never turned his back on Moser. Adu Abba. He picked up his ears and tried to hear it wherever he could when other than you died, right? How does he respond? With a whole list of all the different avails that the Mepharshim suggest maybe they were over and that's where he died? No! What does he do? Moshe Rabbeinu says, he turns to Aaron, he says, Bekorvei Kaddish. I'm not worthy. We're not worthy. Right? Aun Shem Rashi. Moshe wasn't defending his ego. Adirava, he was all too eager to give a little reality check to his ego. It's a story going back a little bit before 1948, also in Yerushalayim. Apparently there was some sort of family having some Shalom Bayis issues. And the husband was at fault. And the Rabbanim involved knew that they couldn't confront the guy straight up because it wasn't going to go. So they turned to Rabbi Eileen. They said, you give a drush in Shul the Shabbos. And the guy will be there and he'll hear. Hopefully he'll take the message. He'll take the cue. Lomi old that happens to be in the back of the shul that Shabbos from Israel Zalman Meltzer was listening to the drush. Comes over to Rabbi Levin after he says, oh, Rabbi Arya, thank you so much. Oh, I'm so bad. I need to increase the respect with my wife. I'm such a bad husband. Oh, thank you so much for the Moshe Shmuz. He says, Rosh Hashiva, I understand. Moshe Shmuz, you can give me the Moshe Shmuz. What are you thanking me? He said, no. And he literally gave concrete examples. It's not a secret about how his wife made some mistakes in printing the sefer. He said, I got frustrated with her. I didn't have proper respect. It's on me. Thank you for the muster. That's a dogma of like, you can wait for the muster to come and turn the other way. Or you can try to pull it wherever it's going to come from. I don't know what happened to the guy who really was supposed to hear the muster words. But Mr. Zalman went away, like Moshe Rabbeinu, like Yonah, looking at themselves, how they can improve. Hashem Elokachem Yasracha. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate mashkia. Listen to two muster words from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Speaking of Parsha Vayera, he says to Avraham Avinu, "Why is that tzachach kasar?" Right? She doesn't believe that I can give her a child. Only in Parsha Mask, a few seconds before Mamish, just at the end of Lachukha. Also, he's told about he's going to have this child. But he falls under the Yitzchak. He also laughs. What's the difference? How come he that goes unnoticed? So if I understand it correctly, what the Azayim Latora is answering, he says like this: No, it didn't go unnoticed. Hashem didn't confront Avraham Avinu for the fact that he laughed. Instead, give him a shlichus. Go and ask Sarah. Because if I'm going to confront you right away, you could deny it. There's at least a Yitzhak Harah to say, no, it wasn't me. But to say Sarah, right? That's what happened. And Elamai, he says, you tell to Sarah. You ask her what went wrong. And then he'll have a moment to reflect on the mistake of Sarah and maybe chat by himself. Wait a minute. I also have some explaining to do. As soon as we depersonalize it, Kol Negam Adam Roa Chutz Min Hagatzmo. What was the first Moshe Shmuz that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Adam HaRishon? How does he initiate that conversation? Ayeka, where are you? Don't shift the blame. Don't shift the focus somewhere else. Right? Rashi says on the spot. What's the introduction? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was reconnaissance of B'dvorim to Leinivu LaHashiv. He didn't want Adam HaRishon to give a spur of the moment reflex answer. Think about it. I'm talking to you. Unfortunately, what was the mistake that Adam HaRishon made? It was her fault. Again, Kol Negam Adam Roa Chutz Min Hagatzmo. How do we turn around this Kshei Oreth? So what am I doing here, B'chal? Right? Some people are wondering, like, I understand. Are you here to announce when whatever Rosh Shiva gives the Shmuz next week, make sure you listen to him, right? I assume we're here. I remember once, and it's just like, oh, I was in Madrid. Rabbi Bennett actually got up and said a message things like that. He said, I knew you were going to think I'm talking to the guy next to you. I'm actually talking to you. It's striking, but it's good habit. That's Mustana, everyone's here to learn, everyone's here to grow. So that it gets hard for that, it's not so big. But there are other sources. There's many other sources of Musar that need our attention, that sometimes we turn our back to. The first, like we said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a lot of Musar. Now in conversation, we love it. Adam Rishon and Avraham Avinu, but he sends us messages all the time. When we go through Tzaris, Chas V'Shalom, we're obligated to do Cheshbon Nefesh and acknowledge HaShgacha Pratis. People talk about being close to Hashem. How do you be close to Hashem? So what do we be close to Hashem? It's acknowledge that He's close to you, that He's intervening in your life and He's pulling the strings and orchestrating things. That's how you feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to you, if you know where it's coming from. And that sometimes I can't ignore it. I need to do a Cheshbon Nefesh. And it doesn't only mean tragic Tzaris Shachem all the time. Like Mar says in Erechon, if I stick my hand in my pocket, take out 3/4 to buy a soda from the machine, and I get 2/4 and a nickel, that's a tzara also. It's annoying. I order a Coke and it's warm. It's a tzara. That's the example of Gemara. Every little thing is a cheshbon. But I can just move on in life and say, wait a minute, it's coming from somewhere. There's a message here. But you know what the Musar Shmuz that's easiest to ignore is? It's a Musar Shmuz that's unsolicited advice or criticism that we never asked for from the people we don't want to hear from and from the people we're convinced the people that were busy seeing their Negam as well. Behind closed doors, let's be honest, the people who know us best, people who know us the longest, are often able to see beneath the surface of the cloudy glass that obscures our own Negam from our perception. And what we miss, someone else is going to pick it up because Kol Negam Adam Roa Chutz Minei Atzmo. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, Shema Beni Musar Avicha. So what's Akasha? Kasha is, Shlomo HaMelech, that's a big chacham he has to tell me. Shema b'nei Musar Avicha. Make sure you listen to Musar from your parents. Why do you need to tell me that? Elamah, the reason is because we're an Kasher Aleph. If you're an Kasher Aleph, so Mimana Mashmoah. And the hardest person to take Musar from are the people close to us, our parents, and Mestama are our siblings as well. We're about to spend a lot of time with family. Those of you guys who are at home, you know too well. They're being here about it from the guys, you know. Whether you're just coming home now or you've been home for a long time, there's friction. And sometimes when you've been away, old tension and old baggage resurface. So the average Amkshay Olef is going to dive right back in to the same Machloksin. But Ben Aliyah is looking to spend the Yantar peacefully, where he wants to take in the Musar. Where Shomun Chalpasim Ben Meshivin, someone's going to criticize me, someone's going to insult me. So be it. Don't answer back. Go to your room, think about it, and investigate where the Nega is on your own. Maybe it hurts. Maybe the pain is inflicted. Sefer Chinuch says that type of pain is also Minashamayim. It's also part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message system. It's his fault for being the one to be Hashem Shleach, but it's also part of the Musar. And likewise, the criticism that you want to dish out to someone else, stop. Stop and hold it back, not just for the sake of Shalom, that's a great value, but also to remember Kol HaPosel, B'mum HaPosel. If I'm about to unleash an insult to someone else, maybe, because I'll say it, I've tried this before, it's scary. It's true. If I have a criticism about someone else and I'm honest with myself, very often I'll find, at least to some extent, that I'm guilty of the same injustice or the same bad midah. And finally, maybe for most of you guys, you got to put this away in your pocket. The source of Musar, that may be the greatest source of Musar than all the Musar Shmuzin in Yeshiva and Sosi Shah and Chofetz Chaim, the source of more Musar than any other Musar in your entire life. Maybe your wife. Mitzvah Hashem at the right time, everyone's going to be Zochah to marry Bas Yisrael and Tzanua and Midos Tovos, all the miles. Man. But some guys think, oh, okay, what's all the miles? Ishik Sherot, or some Baal, Givaldik, you know, Rambam, Perkis, Bavav, Hegel's Ishas. What about Rashi, Isa Kenegdo? Okay, there's a little Kenegdo. But you know what the greatest chesed is? Someone who gives you Musar, who knows you better than anybody else. It's a chesed as long as you know how to take it. So be quiet, accept it, reflect on it. It's a chesed. Thank you. Thank you. Taka, you're right. Kol hanegoim odom roa chutz minigi atzma. I think it was 15, 20 years ago, Rabbi Willie gave Musar Shmuz, he wrote it up for Torah Web, just on the topic of negoim, and he said, you know why there's a patur during Shemar Brachas for a chesed? They ain't a real negoim during Shemar Brachas to teach him a lesson. You know, you're not so perfect, but we're going to overlook some of those negoim. We're going to overlook Negam while you're a chassid, but don't worry. You know, you're going to start squeezing the toothpaste on the wrong with the toys. You're going to, well, nice, be macabre with the Musar. That's right. The boss said, just to conclude, we spent an entire year learning B'digas Chametz. And the countdown is on. In 2 weeks, or our Boston. Maybe, well, the Gimel is, whatever. Or our Boston, 2 weeks. I need to tell you, Sfarim tell us that the search for Chametz is a Ruch Nistik of Chametz also. But what we're saying here, Kol Hanigam of the Merah Chutz Menegi Atzmo, it means God looking the Chametz stocking. It means that you need Chippus B'neiros. It means Ad Mokum Sheyedam Agas to uncover and discover where we need to improve. Not that we can wallow and be misguided, but to energize our growth, find where we can improve when we're honest with ourselves, so that our Yerushalayim is not paralyzing, but it's galvanizing.